Our next presenter is Associate Professor Slava Adamchuk. He's in our Department of Bioresource Engineering at McGill University. And he's going to give us a presentation from a slightly different perspective, looking at the concept of precision agriculture. And in particular, his interests are soil science technologies and how these can be used to enhance economic and environmental benefits in precision agriculture. And look forward to his presentation.
Good morning. Thank you for in the introduction, and we'll. Things are working. Okay. So we'll talk a little bit about smart technologies and what it's doing for us today and perhaps tomorrow. And as was said, I'm Vyacheslav Adamchuk from Bioresource Engineering Department here at McGill University. So most of you are familiar about nice McDonald campus on the tip of the island, which is not only a great facility for classroom instructions, but also we have land surrounding campus with farmland and with arboretum, which is excellent test ground to verify different type of technologies that have been developed. And so I lead the precision agriculture and sensor systems team, and there are three different aspects that we are working on. First of all, it's development of sensors, either to detect soil or plant characteristics. Second is, as previous speaker mentioned, dealing with large amounts of data, which has geotagging attached to it. And also the practical implementation of precision agriculture. As in previous life, I mean, before coming to McGill University, I served as extension engineer for the state of Nebraska for about 10 years, and that's basically what core role of our team there was, is how to make sure that we put right tools in the hand of farmers at right time, in right locations, etc. I'd like to go back a little bit to the definition, precision agriculture. It has many different forms. Of course, this one I got from Wikipedia in 2012. It's keep changing. But in this particular definition, it has two sentences. One is what traditionally has been thought about precision agriculture. And I'd like to emphasize the later part. Today, precision agriculture is about whole farm management with the goal of optimizing the return of inputs while preserving resources. So to summarize this, what we're trying to optimize, we try to optimize profit. As some of farmers that we work with used to say, it's not more bushels per acre or tons per hectare, it's more dollars per hectare. So it's definitely saves the environment. And normally if you do first, you automatically do second. In some cases it's a little bit of trade-offs that needs to be considered. And of course the social aspect that also been mentioned earlier this morning, when we have technology implemented and streamlined processes embedded within the production system, we see a lot of people who have higher education, who have know-how skills in performing professional operations, want to actually come back to agricultural communities. That's like I'm originally from Ukraine. A lot of my friends are dealing with computers and programming, and like 20 years ago, agriculture was considered to be archaic industry, and now with all the possibilities to invest into technology development part of agriculture production cycle, a lot of them actually going into this area, because agriculture is probably one of industries that doesn't normally decline. It's like the demand is always there. So in terms of targeted production, we normally talk about crops. but also need to not to forget precision livestock management, which is also a great area of exploration, not only in Canada, it's in quite a few countries around the world. It's all the specialty crops, it's forestry, aquaculture, and also the issues of traceability. When you walk to the store and you read the label and you know not only where the cow that you have packed coming from, but where the food grown to feed that cow came from, and you have the entire chain available at your disposal. This data coming from Purdue University survey related to precision agriculture adoption, and we see that certain technologies have over the last 10 years have relatively moderate growth, but some of technologies like GPS-based auto guidance is actually skyrocketing as long as we have turnkey technology that is available to provide to the farmers. It's the ones that actually get adopted relatively fast, and we have the entire spectrum of those. But the most interesting thing from the same survey is that the number of excuses that farmers in Midwest of the United States used to say that why they don't adopt new technologies is getting smaller and smaller. Like we have the same quarter of farmers that's skeptical, and it seems like whatever is happening, they always will remain skeptical. In this room, there is always somebody who is skeptical. That's the nature of things. But previously they were saying it's expensive and so on. And now we see that it's more expensive if you don't do anything in terms of technology, and then you basically don't have farm in 10 years or 15 years or so. So that's basically status quo. As I mentioned, that's GPS, or correctly GNSS, Global Navigation Satellite System, based auto guidance, has been one of these technologies that kept motivation of from viewpoint of adoption going. Is very widely adopted, and our team has been involved in development of standard to test this technology. And this is actually the data that's coming from real tests. We run these tractors for several days over the same course, and so. And you can see on the lower graph that 95% of time, 95% of time, we can have large equipment like tractor precise on the course within 2 centimeter accuracy. Just like imagine 2 centimeters, it's like a quarter. So, and that's what we have today, and it's widely acceptable, and there is an array of technologies that can emerge from this. So a lot of people actually talking about individual plant-based management of agricultural systems. Also, technologies like individual disengagement of units. We have large equipment working on small pieces of land, a lot of overlaps, a lot of skips, waterways, conservation zone, wetlands, and so on. And now with this technology, we can use benefits of large equipment when it comes to the efficiency, and not apply on areas that we don't want to apply seed or fertilizer and so on. And some publications give this type of technologies credit of saving up to 40% of inputs on in certain conditions. Guidance, like we are talking about array of technologies, somebody who going with RTK and so on, there is a set of tools, but in a developing environment, when we don't have this expense, like this computer vision guidance that we've been putting several systems together, and this is, by the way, from organic farming production, where you can't use chemicals, so it's mechanical operation still the leading one, and those systems don't need to be expensive. Like the camera that we are using is about $50 a camera, and it's you can do a relatively decent job in terms of implementing robotics agriculture. So we are getting there, different operations. This is robots in the field, robot in orchard, robotic milkers, and so on. So somehow we are moving that direction. So there's probably farming in the future in some areas, and there are several issues in terms of liability, safety, security, and so on that has been dealt with. But technologically, we're already at that particular level. From your point of production, practical implementation, this results coming from one of pilot projects that we did also back in Ukraine a few years back, when looking at variety of technologies that's actually really helping farming production to get optimized and been managed a little better. It's tracking machinery, like what's going on, what's happening at different point of time. And this is all the script that can run behind the scenes. So if something happened to the equipment, it's going to run field, it's applying different amount, or something actually broken, then there is automatic message sent through cell phone technology to operator who can fix it. And it's a community that can interact with regard to this production process. Variable rate technology, this machine, it's combination of five different manufacturers and so on. It can do five different products, and each product according to individual map, individual task that required by that particular parcel of land. And most interesting that all this information is transmitted between agronomic office and the vehicle itself wirelessly through GPRS, through cell phone, there is a real-time control on the feedback from the machine. What's actually happening? Is it actually doing what it's supposed to do? For low-scale farmers, there is a technology that we've been working with called smart tractor concept. It's the same thing as guidance, but dealing with variable rate technology, and we showed that this process can be used with really inexpensive equipment, and certain operations we can do in a straightforward mode. Like on our farm, we were working with liquid cattle manure and some of other application processes that can be done on a variable rate basis. Sensing is important, as previous speaker said, that we do generate a lot of data, and from our team perspective, guilty as charged, in terms of providing equipment to generate large amounts of data. And normally we are talking about remote sensing data that requires satellite aircraft or drone technology that can be done, and proximal sensors that can be collect data on the go, on the spot, profiling, and so on. One thing that I want to mention about sensing, which is coming from art of engineering, as with any processes, we look, we listen, we touch, we smell, we taste. And when it comes to sensors, we are doing exactly the same thing with different concept, different mechanism involved. It's all the same sensors that we are trying to implement using digital system. Now, this why my job is interesting, because we have certain properties that we are interested in. We have certain sensors technologies that can reveal some part of information. But this is what we have to work with. The same property affects many different sensors in different ways, and this untangling this process is what our primary focus is these days. Sensor fusion is a new hot topic in the proximal sensing arena. And as an example, this is a machine built by various technologies from Kansas that our team has been involved with, and it's combined three different sensors plus RTK GPS for topography mapping and interacting with samples collected by the lab, and we can generate data related to a variety of soil properties just in one pass. Soil spectra, like talking about local spectra or global spectra library, there is a lot of prediction in terms of part of spectrum that we are focusing on. We started with visible near infrared. Now we are talking about mid infrared, FTR, even gamma ray spectroscopy is used quite intensively. This is one of units that we've been working for on-the-spot measurement of chemical properties, etc., and the directions that we are going with these technologies. It's nothing more than Curiosity or Mars rover or something else, but it's designed to go on Earth with the very, very tiny fraction of the budget that NASA has for the rover's development. Now, in terms of in-situ microscopy, that's one of technologies that we've been working latest. It's looking at soil clothes. There's a lot of information coming there. Even if we are lucky, we can get some life form in the soil. This is actually a very tiny worm that we can see within this microscope that we're using for in-situ investigations. Wireless sensor network, as previous speaker showed some examples, it helps a lot. And the most common example is variable rate irrigation that we've been pursuing. Crop sensors. Crop is actually one of the best sensors of environment. So if crop, if it doesn't feel that it's efficient in terms of nutrients and water, it screams, it yells very loud. We just don't hear unless we have appropriate sensor, appropriate combination of sensors to identify those signatures and act if we can. Drones, collecting images, so there's a lot of policy issues and so on, but we got our permit from Transport Canada this spring, and it's been flying and collecting information when needed. Water quality assessment, it's another issue. Important and using either proximal technologies or again using remote sensing. Biomass production is also a colleague of mine, Mark Lesseret, is working in that area, and this is another indoor facility for crop production. The new thing that we developed for this is recirculating of nutrients and the systems that automatically adjust nutrients to the optimum balance to send through the system for the growth. And I wanted to leave with this couple slides from a recent report from a consulting company in Germany that discusses in general value of precision agriculture. And currently in 2015, the estimated value is, of precision agriculture as a product is €2.6 billion, and it's expected to grow to double just within a few years. And this particular group put together this logistics schemes scheme in terms of different technologies. So we have automation, we have data, we have different sensor technologies, and at some point it's going to come together and emerge in some new technology where individuals and equipment and data working together in a seamless manner. And concluding remarks, there is no such situation where precision agriculture does not work. I didn't talk much about developing communities, but we also have quite a few success stories in that environment. But there are many instances where promoted solutions are not the appropriate for solving given set of problems. And actually, the bottom line, we need to look for right tools to solve right problems. And thank you very much. Thanks.
Well, thank you for that very interesting and thought-provoking presentation, actually. I hope everyone will keep that picture in their mind of the farmer drinking pina coladas, watching the machines work, and think about maybe what that means and think of some questions that may arise in your minds as you think about the future of agriculture. And question I have is also to what extent the precision agriculture might reduce inputs and be reduce environmental impacts. So that would be another thing I'd be interested to hear more about maybe in the question time. Our last speaker